very special episode of Nerds on the Rocks, episode 155. Joining me this week, it's going to be a very interesting show because I'm going to try to divide it up into halves. I shall be here for both halves. But in the first half, we have Dan.
Hey.
And we have Justin.
Hi.
So yes, this is an episode that I've been planning for about a month, but we've just kind of had other things come up and couldn't sketch everybody at the same time, which is kind of why this format's taking place. This is basically just a Q&A segment with these new hosts, because I believe this is kind of our fourth major staff change as far as the show goes, so I figured we'll get you folks up to speed and get you to know them. So I have a bunch of random questions to ask them, and they're going to answer this half, and then the second half should be Trent and Sam. If that works out, fingers crossed, let's get this on the way. As far as order goes, whoever wants to answer first, I'll ask. It's a round robin. And none of you have seen these questions yet, so there's that. Really random ones to kick it off, but have you ever stolen a street sign?
I'm going to say no, although funny you should mention that, because right outside of my dorm, just down the street, there's a sign that's been taken down that my roommate's like, we should just take it. So, I'm not going to do that, just for the record, but it's funny you should mention it now.
Everybody takes at least one sign in their life. Justin?
No. The opportunity has never come up. Let's put it like that.
Well, I mean, there's never a prime opportunity. You just take one.
I'm in a prime opportunity.
Well, I mean, like, there's never a moment where I'm with someone where I'm just like, I want to steal this. This is mine.
So
this
what you're saying is you've never been drunk enough.
Yeah, that.
That's pretty much what it happened.
I mean, I've never been drunk, period, but yeah, that's basically what it amounts to.
Yes. Do you ever dance even if there's no music playing?
I'm going to say yes to that one.
Sometimes
you just get that itch, you gotta.
Yeah, it's like you hear the music in your head, and it's just like, fuck yeah, it's my jam.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, follow up, what type of music do you hear in your head when you dance by yourself?
That's a good question. Usually just some little tune of like 3 or 4 notes that I make up in my head if I get bored. Happens a lot, actually.
Justin?
I think mine's just like techno dance music. It's like... And I'm just like, yeah! Party!
Okay.
And then I imagine like strip lights going off in the background.
And it's very different.
I don't know. I don't know. It's happening.
I can't blame you, I don't listen to techno music in my head, but each his own, and very poor.
Well, it's easy dance music, because, like, you don't really have to think up a rhythm, like, you do with rap music, you just gotta, like, make a little beat in your head, and then you get your body going, and next thing you know, you're dancing.
You can dance if you want to.
Yep, and just be like, hey, check me out, I'm dancing!
Yeah, no cap trap on this show. Where would you bury hidden treasure if you had some?
I'm going to answer that question with a question of my own. Do I have to bury it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess the idea is that you probably want to bury it so other people can't find it. Like, you aren't going to keep treasure on you at all times that you need it for.
That's true, but I don't think I would bury it. I would probably hide it somewhere, not necessarily buried.
Right.
Where would you hide it?
I'm telling you.
I guess that would be the most logical approach.
Right.
That's a good question. I don't think I would bury it because I would be afraid of my, like, moving and, like, forgetting it, or it being, like, outside. It, like, it's kind of implied that if it's buried, it's outside, so it's outside your house or some place that's already secure. So I guess I would...
No, I've seen movies where they usually hide, like, the data chip inside their rib cage.
I don't know about inside my body, but...
That's too much work. Like, and then you sort of... Then you just, like, have to pay someone to, like, put it in you, and then you have to take it out by yourself while you're conscious.
It's true. It's a lot of trust put in other people, I think. I guess to answer your question, though, I would probably put it somewhere in my house, probably. Somewhere like that. A secure location, not buried. Not underground.
What about if you had, like, a loose throw board on your room, and you buried it underneath your room or something, or a basement? You know, or the ditch where you hide those dead bodies?
Well, I wouldn't hide it with the dead bodies. I mean, you gotta separate.
Why not?
You gotta put them separate. What if they put, you know, if they find just one, they can't put two and two together. If they find them both, you're
but the whole idea of burying a body is so they don't find it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think about the floorboards option, I would probably only do that if I had enough floorboards to make it inconspicuous. There was like only one in my entire house, I'd be like, nah, this is just too obvious.
Okay. Next question. What do you dip a chicken nugget in?
I don't eat chicken nuggets.
What type of... You don't drink and you don't eat chicken nuggets? What type of fun do you have?
I do.
Not
cooking.
Food fun.
What about you, Dan? Do you
eat chicken nuggets? I'm kidding. I don't do cocaine. Don't.
It's all coming out tonight.
Shut up. You've heard nothing.
I would probably dip chicken nuggets, or most things in general, really, into either mustard or honey mustard.
I guess the taste, I was going to say, what's the major difference between mustard and honey mustard?
Yeah, I love honey mustard.
My sister does that too.
For me, it's always barbecue sauce. Always barbecue sauce. I dip most things in the barbecue sauce.
Oh, dude, you're my hero right now.
What movies could you watch over and over and still love?
I'm going to say every single Pixar movie, because I do, and if you follow me on Twitter, you would know that, because I watch pretty much at least one every week.
Okay. And Justin?
Probably any superhero movie.
Any superhero movie?
Any of the Marvel movies. And...
Even Iron Man 2?
And like one or two of the Spider-Man movies, depends on which ones, and probably most of the Transformers movies. Whatever, man.
No judgment.
They're good movies. Let's not get into it.
But we're not going to get you to like watch a Catwoman on repeat for a week.
I mean, unless you want to hear about like a mass murder 3 days later, then no.
You never know. It's overtime.
Oh, wait, no. And like Fast 4 through 6.
Just Fast 5 and 6, honestly.
Well, yeah, totally. I've not seen...
Oh my god, they're so good.
Break the stream and watch Fast 5 and 6 right now. Let's go.
Please.
I was going to say I haven't seen Fast. It's not even Fast 4.
It's just called Fast and Furious. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was the one they dropped the.
Yep.
I haven't seen that one. I've seen. I heard good things about Fast 5 and or had the rocket. So I checked that out and I've seen 6. But it's like a whole new franchise now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Well, I mean, except for that news that came out this week.
I know, now it's going to have to be an even newer franchise, unfortunately.
Right.
Didn't they say they
stopped production on it?
Yeah, they want to see what they're going to do with it.
But we will
cover that probably next week when I think we're doing our new show, which we haven't done in a while. I don't think you folks have done one yet, where we just take a bunch of headlines over the last 2 or 3 months and talk about it.
Oh, cool.
Can you curl your tongue?
Yes.
Yes.
Can you roll your letters?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I take French, so I have to.
Doesn't mean you have to. It helps.
Well, it helps, and it's also greatly preferred depending on some words.
Oh no! I'm just saying that just because you take it doesn't mean you can do it.
I mean, well, yes, I can do that with my tongue.
That's what she said.
Oh.
Anyhow. What is your favorite video game genre? Oh, and just for the record, this is kind of where it kind of switches over to more genre questions. There are some still random ones scattered about.
Well, I guess I would probably say RPGs. Yeah, I think I would say RPGs. It's been like that for a while, so I guess I could stick with that answer.
What do you mean it's been like that for a while?
For the longest time, I've really liked RPGs. I sort of did when I was a kid. And then, like, I started playing more of them. I actually didn't start with the Final Fantasy series. I think it was more like, I guess, Pokemon, but other smaller stuff. And now, it sort of is. I don't hate any genre, really, but I really like RPGs, and I find myself playing them a lot, although not as much anymore because I don't have as much time. So I guess that's why I clarified that.
That's the curse of adulthood. Yeah. And yes, one of the reasons I've never been huge into RPGs is the time sink. That, like, I just bought Xenoblade Chronicles again, and I'm like, I want to replay it again, but it's 100 hours that I really won't have any time this year.
Yeah.
What about you, Justin?
I'm just going to say action, just because it kind of covers, like, 90% of what I like.
I was about to say, I hate action. I hate when people say the action genre in video games, because it covers everything.
Well, I mean...
Like, if you look at the VGA, it's first-person shooter, it's sports games, then it's action-adventure, and that's every other game that come out.
That is definitely not action-adventure. That's a shooter. Well, no, when I say action, I think of things like Ratchet or like Arkham Asylum, games like that.
Ratchet, I would call a platformer.
No, I wouldn't call it a platformer anymore.
I think I would. Maybe not in the newer ones. I haven't played the newer ones,
yeah.
But
I would still call them a platformer.
I would say after 2, they kind of stopped becoming platformers.
And Batman is the same thing. Like, Batman, I would consider Batman a modern-day beat-em-up.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. Although, I don't know, when I hear beat-em-up, I kind of imply, like, button-mashing a little bit more than...
Yeah.
Yeah, but see, a good beat-em-up...
You do a lot of button-mashing in the Arkham games.
Yeah, but even in a good beat-em-up, a button-mashing will only get you so far. The whole point is kind of, like, knowing your hit attack and knowing the enemy's... You know, because, like, even in the old school Ninja Turtles games, you had to time your attack, or you'd get wiped on the counter or something like that while recovering. And that's why I said modern day. I do think Batman takes a lot of elements from it and evolves it into something better, but that is a discussion for another day. Name a movie or an game that has made you cry.
Oh, man. I'm going to say every single Pixar movie except for, like, A Bug's Life, the first Toy Story, Ratatouille, and The Incredibles makes me cry.
Maybe fair, Ratatouille is probably not the best Pixar movie. Not the best. Not one of the best.
As long as Carl exists, I mean.
True.
I can't speak
to Brave's quality, but I also hear that's not that great.
I think Brave is good, but I just wanted to clarify. Those are the Pixar movies that don't make you cry, or the ones that do make you cry?
They are the ones that don't. For the most part, Pixar movies do, but like Ratatouille, A Bug's Life, Incredibles, Cars, forget what other ones I said. Monsters University also doesn't really make me cry.
I don't think Monsters University had anything to cry about.
Yeah, well, I mean, you did Bug's Life for Cars, really.
From
what I remember of Bug's Life, anyway.
Is it the first Toy Story as well?
Yeah, the second one definitely does, and the third one absolutely does. But
oh,
the first
totally.
Doesn't.
Especially with the scene with the furnace.
What about Up? Does that make you cry?
Absolutely. I just watched it last...
Everyone cry.
Like, a few days ago, and I was, like, bawling my eyes out.
Oh my god, why?
I don't really know, but I kind of just get in those moods where I'm like, I just need to have a good Up cry.
What up, dog?
Yeah.
And we'll come back for game. Justin, movie, go.
I'll say Toy Story 2 or How to Train Your Dragon.
Interesting one.
Yeah. It was at the end when he realized that he lost his leg. For some reason, that just got me.
I don't remember that movie. I ain't remember enjoying it, but I've always seen it once. Maybe I should check it out again.
Yeah. The sequel's coming out soon, so...
Yeah.
Does anybody watch the... Is it Nick who has the show?
It's Cartoon Network. I watched a few episodes. It was okay. I fell out with it.
Okay. video game.
Not because it was bad. Not because it was bad. I just didn't have time.
It happens. Video game that has made you cry.
In recent memory, Ghost Trick did, actually. And Professor Layton and the Unwound Future made me absolutely, like, bawl.
What happens? Well, I don't want spoilers. I just never heard somebody mention Professor Layton before.
Unwound Future has a pretty emotional ending, and I was like, I don't know, it was pretty, it got me.
And this was the end of the first trilogy, right? Or second trilogy?
Yeah, that was the end of the trilogy.
Justin?
I'd say the ending to Sly Cooper 3 made me cry.
These are some odd picks.
Well, okay. To explain that, it was also like 4 in the morning when I beat that game, so I might have just been like crying from, my ears were probably just crying from like nearly passing out from exhaustion. Yes. Because I stayed up all night to play that game. I'd also say the ending to Ratchet and Clank: A Crack in Time. And Mass Effect 3, but not for the reason that you think.
Well, I'm curious if they had a reason now, because the reason
it was when Thane died.
Oh,
it was when a lot of my favorite characters died, when I was coming close to Tyrion. But that one really got to me because he was one of my favorites.
Gotcha. Okay. I honestly can't say I remember crying at anything, but I always hate saying that because it always makes me like a macho man.
Well, I thought you were though.
Yeah,
I have no problem. Yeah, I have no soul. That's different than not than being a macho man. I just have no emotions.
macho men can not have souls.
But, do you have any quirks when talking?
Like anything that you say repeatedly or something? Like, I guess
anything.
Yeah.
For instance, I always get accused of having Power Ranger hands, which means whenever
that mean?
It means whenever I talk, I can't talk without moving my hands.
Oh,
I've never heard Power Ranger hands.
It's what my friends called me. It's what my friend said in high school. Because whenever I talk, it's like my especially I always notice it on job interviews. Because whenever I do it, and I'm doing it right now. If I'm at a desk, my hands will always kind of walk across the table as I'm talking. Like, I will make a motion. Like, right now, like, my thumb's on the desk and my hand's just kind of moving up and down in like a spider motion as I speak. And I'm aware of it. I can't stop myself.
All right.
So, yes. Anything?
I'm trying to think of anything, really. I'm sure somebody else could probably tell you something about me, but off the top of my head, I don't know.
Okay, Justin?
According to my friends, whenever I talk, I make, like, these weird facial expressions. And then they also say that, like, if someone tries to hit me, my eyes will get super big. And at one time they tested me on it, and I actually did feel my eyes like get really big, as they made me flinch.
Crazy Jackman eye.
I don't know what it was. I don't know what you call it.
That reminds me. This is probably something you won't notice either. But do you have a video game face?
I don't. Again, you'd probably have to ask somebody who plays games with me, which is not, I guess, many people also, but
yeah.
It's probably just very stoic, and I definitely have a pose that I kind of sit in, or like a seating arrangement, I guess.
Yeah. And to use another pop culture reference, I have what my friends call a Michael Jordan face. whenever I play video games, for some reason, like, my tongue sticks out of the side of my mouth. Like, when I'm really focused. And I didn't notice, like, we used to do it in college. You say it out of video games, and people would just take pictures. So there are pictures where you can kind of see, like, I have, like, this look on my face, but, like, my tongue's out the side of my mouth for whatever reason. But yes, that is my gaming face.
Nice.
All right.
When I'm
awesome. So you look like you're a dog waiting for, like, a treat.
Something. I don't think it's that bad.
Okay, I'm sorry, that was mean.
I don't think it's that bad. Okay, this is a two-pronged question. Do you have any siblings, and what is your relationship with them?
I'll let Justin answer first, because I have a lot of siblings.
I have a sister, and I... What's the nicest way to say this?
I think that answers that.
I wish that she... Well, wait, no, I got it. There are times where I wish that she was a boy, that way I wouldn't feel guilty about my desire to punch her in the head.
Sounds like a sibling.
And I know that's going to... I know that sounds really bad, but, man...
I think I just know, like, actual butt there. It's just like, yeah, it sounds really bad.
Well, dude... Fuck it. Do you have a sibling?
I will make Dan answer.
I have many siblings. Only one biological... two, technically, biological. I have... a younger sister. I have two younger stepbrothers on my mom's side. And on my dad's side, I have one younger stepbrother and a younger half-brother.
And do you put them all?
Well, I mean, I'm sort of like in a weird position because I mean, I go to school, so I live at school. But when I'm not at school, I live mostly with my dad, which would be with my youngest stepbrother and my half-brother. And then when I'm with my mom, my sister still is in high school, so she lives with my mom, and one of my stepbrothers lives with us also.
Okay. And you get along with them super well. Do you want to just in them, as they say?
I get along with my sister for the most part when she's not in a bad mood. I get along with my older stepbrother. I guess I sort of tolerate him. He's just kind of one of those people who I wouldn't hang out with in my spare time, so not really. My other stepbrother on my mom's side I get along with really well, though. On my dad's side, I get along with my stepbrother. That's my youngest stepbrother. He plays video games a lot, and we talk about that. But he's also in middle school, so he's kind of in that weird stage where he's like finding himself and stuff. So he's a little bit weird right now. And then my baby brother, I say baby, but he's like 7. Yeah, I get along with him a lot, and I play with him a lot, too.
There you go. And see, he doesn't want to adjust in most of them.
Well, it's not my fault that she's a pain in the ass.
Never is, never is.
I mean, it's my fault that I sometimes piss her off, but still.
Just don't piss her off.
Well, sometimes it's not even my fault. Sometimes I show up and she's ready to, like, chuck beer bottles at people's heads.
Fair enough. Maybe you should get drunk with her then. What is your favorite sport, if any?
I really like hockey. My dad is Canadian, and therefore I am partially as well. So I really like hockey, and then I also grew up playing a lot of soccer in middle school, high school, not in college, but yeah. So I really like those two sports.
So apparently Dan isn't from America.
My dad is not from America. I am.
Well, I just meant like you pick soccer and hockey. Nobody cares about that here.
I guess. My dad was from Canada, so a lot of hockey influence, and then my stepdad is from England, so a lot of soccer influence.
No cricket.
Nope.
No rugby?
No, my dad likes rugby. I don't.
Justin, you can say basketball. We know you're going to say basketball.
Shut up. I'm not 100% on sports, but, like, if it's on, I'll watch it. Usually, like, baseball, sometimes soccer, or football.
You were going to say basketball, yeah.
Shut up. No, I wasn't. And, yeah, sometimes basketball.
There you go.
Shut up.
Hey, it's okay. It's my favorite sport, too. It's in our nature.
I mean, like, I don't know who got tickets to what team or whatever, but, you know, I know, like, who I'm supposed to be rooting for and who kicked the ball where and who did the thing.
Well,
that's all I need to know.
I'm kind of curious now. Who do you root for? Well, both of you, I guess.
I root for whoever I like the most. Like if I'm with friends, if I like depending on who I like the most, I will vote for that team. But usually, like if it's some like college ball where it's like MU, KU, I will always vote for MU because KU can suck it. that's just a state thing.
Yeah.
So if you're from Kansas and you're listening to this...
I don't know anybody from Kansas. So.
Okay, I'm from, like, the area closest to Kansas.
I don't even know what that means.
That's Kansas City. I'm just, like, 5 minutes away from entering the city limits to Kansas.
Okay. I thought you meant, like, you were, like, a state closest to Kansas or something. That's a weird way to phrase that. What about you, Dan? Who do you root for?
Well, my dad is Canadian, so he roots for the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Blue Jays and whatnot, but we also live very close to Boston, so I'm a Bruins fan, although when they're out of the running, I'll usually go to the Maple Leafs for my dad's sake. And then as far as soccer goes, I'm a Manchester United fan because that's what my stepdad is. Well, that's because that's what my stepdad is. He grew up in Manchester, so.
Isn't Arsenal your rivals? Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, enough sports talk. What is your favorite beverage?
Probably root beer.
Good choice. Justin?
Say water or... God damn it. Or Orange Crush. God damn it.
Does Justin have orange soda? Is it true?
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, my God. I am contributing to so many stereotype jokes right now, I swear.
It's a good thing I can make them without feeling guilty.
Yeah, I guess.
What is your most frequent internet site that is not porn to save some special, special ears?
Oh, damn it. All right, well...
Mine is either Reddit or, I guess, Twitter/TweetDeck. I always have a tab of those open. Second would be probably I have a Facebook tab and a Tumblr tab open, usually in the background. They're all in the background.
Okay.
I think I would add YouTube to mine, or the Rooster Teeth site.
Okay. Two more questions, and we can wrap. If you were in an RPG, what class would you be?
Good question. I think I might be like the thief type role. Yeah, I think the thief type role is pretty cool.
I'm not going to make that joke, Justin, because that's a very bad...
Shut up.
I can get away with it.
There's not a role for black guy who will probably die first, is there?
In RPGs, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah, I'll just go with the warrior.
The ultimate warrior. Okay, and final. Are we holding? Ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-da-dum,
ba-dum, ba-da-dum. Sorry.
Okay. Final question. Who is your favorite character from any entertainment movie?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Why, it's our final question as well, because it's a tough one.
I should have asked it at the beginning so I had this entire time to think about it.
But that's part of the fun of not knowing these questions ahead of time.
From any entertainment medium, too. Because I can't really think of anything, I'll just think of a few that kind of come to mind. I really like the superhero, or I guess he's a villain. Venom. I really like Venom a lot.
He's kind of an anti-hero now.
Yeah, nowadays he kind of is. So I like Venom a lot. I like Superman. I was going to say Spider-Man. I don't like Superman actually at all. So that was weird. But I really like Spider-Man and Iron Man. They're my two favorite heroes. Venom's up there. Outside of heroes, good question.
Damn.
I like Ezio Auditore from Assassin's Creed 2, Revelations, and Brotherhood. He's a very well-developed character.
Okay. Some good choices. Justin?
I'm gonna go with Iron Man, like Dan. And
yeah.
I will also add in Roger from American Dad. And also... Ezio and this is just really hard. I'm sorry.
And you had all the time, Dan.
I just finished.
Did you say Handsome Jack?
Yes.
You know he's the bad guy of the game.
So?
He's a pretty good bad guy, though.
you cannot deny that he's hilarious.
He's a mass murdering psychopath.
I mean, so is everyone else in that game.
The Vault Hall says aren't psychopaths.
Some of them
They're kind of psychotic.
Well, the final newest one is what's his name? The literally the
Creed.
Psychopath. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's literally a psychopath.
Right.
Don't judge a book by its cover, gentlemen.
Well, I mean,
you're saying that because you're not a mass murdering psychopath. You're jealous.
You don't know if I'm a mass murdering psychopath.
That's a fair point.
You?
I'm not going to confess that on air.
Oh, of course not. That's just what someone who's jealous would say.
We're done. We're wrapping. So, hopefully we'll catch you
on the
other. We'll catch you on the other side. Thanks to Dan and Justin, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother.
After these messages.
Welcome back, and I always find that weird to say on a podcast that you could probably continue to listen to, but since there should be a break before this as we, move out, Dan and Justin, and introduce Trent and Sam.
Hello!
Hey.
I will say, I was thinking about this today, Trent is the only person on this show who does not have two first names.
Yeah, I have three first names, but interesting.
Yeah, because it's Justin, Dan, Sam, and I don't want to say your last name so people don't, but,
Sam Neil, feel free to stalk me, the guy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, it's Neil, Carter, and Thomas.
Much more public things about my life have been on the internet before, you're fine.
Yes, your topiest video game picture, for example, gets this round on Tumblr. I see that way too often on my dashboard.
Yeah, I see it way too often on my Facebook page where my relatives see it as well.
That's awesome. Me awkward. Anyhow.
Yeah, you get used to it. By the way, everybody listening to the podcast, I have a topless picture on the internet.
Do you want to explain why, or do you just want to leave it there?
Not particularly. Just go look up Get Out of the Garage and Fix My Car. Google that phrase, and you'll figure out what I'm talking about.
Slow down. I'm trying to do that right now.
Yeah, pause the podcast, go out, and then report back, and you'll have so much more context for this conversation.
Or not.
Or not.
Anyhow, like we did with Justin and Dan, I'm going to ask them the same series of questions, and they're going to give us their answers to better get to know them. So let's kick it off. Have you ever stolen a street sign before?
Define stolen.
You took
taking it, not giving it back.
I mean, so no, in that case, because we found one that was in a, it was a construction zone, so they had a whole bunch of street signs laying on the ground, but they had already finished with construction, so they weren't really going to use them.
Well, they could reuse them. It's not like they stopped being useful.
In which case, yes, but I didn't cut it down from a post. it was a pile of just the sign part without the post to it, so.
What was the sign?
The sign was a dead-end sign. I have a picture of it somewhere, but this is not a visual medium. We hung it up in our dorm room freshman year, and we ended up returning it at the end of the year, so there's that. Yeah, there's not too much of a story behind it, I'm afraid. It's just we saw a sign on the ground, and then we took it. No, didn't get any trouble, nothing like that.
Nobody usually gets in trouble for stealing a sign when you're doing it wrong. What about you, Trent?
New. I have not. And it's like I have friends who have done it, and I've just thought, like, I don't have anywhere to put it. Like, there's nowhere in my apartment that would require a street sign. Like, I'm not above stealing something if I feel like it would be awesome, you know? But it doesn't seem like it would have any use, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my item people usually find either side of their door. But yeah, it's not really decoration unless you're like a teenager in college where a lot of people do it when they're drunk.
Yep, unless you're just a dumb kid in college like I was and still am. But wouldn't stealing signs make for a great shitty Monaco prequel? You're like trying to evade the mall security, not the mall security guards, like the neighborhood cops as you go and cut down a sign before they catch you. And then like there's the old guy sitting out in his front yard just on his rocking chair and you got to sneak around him too. It'd be great. Someone could do something with that engine. Oh, I'm sorry. This podcast isn't about video games. Whoops.
It happens. Just as a quick aside, have any of you stolen a road cone?
A what?
Also,
yeah.
I'm going to wait until he figures out what a road cone is. I'm surprised. A traffic cone is the more
traffic
common
cone, there we go.
Cone? No, but I've run them down before.
Isn't the whole point of them to avoid them?
Actually, they're a lot more fun to hit.
No.
If there have been certain bullseyes?
There have been certain instances where I was like, hey, there's something coming up really quickly. I should probably swerve too late, you know?
Yeah. So I took a cone just the other week, actually. I went to like a Halloween zombie pub crawl event and as one of the zombies from Plants vs. Zombies. So on my way to the event, I grabbed a traffic cone and put it on my head. Very Nobody nice. Got it. Nobody understood what I was doing.
That's kind of a shame. It's a very popular game.
Yeah, but, yes, I don't know. It was also a pub crawl with normal people, I guess, so.
Never mind.
You know what it means.
I'm not touching that. Do you ever dance, even if there's no music playing?
I am always dancing, especially when there's no music playing.
Yeah, so, yes. I will dance to myself singing.
And I'm one of those people who feel like, I think dancing's awesome. I feel like the worse the dancing, the better. And I know completely that I'm not a great dancer, and I kind of love that fact.
I gotta give it up.
See, I'm not any good at real dancing, though, is the problem. I just dance, like, on my own, even with no music playing, but I don't do too much. Like, I tried to go country dancing, and my girlfriend only took me once, and she said never again.
When you say country dancing, do you mean like line dancing or?
Two-step is what most people do. In College Station, Texas, it's a lot more popular than other places. In fact, if you want to go out on a Saturday night, there's like a 50% chance that you'll end up country dancing if you're with a group of people. It's just the thing to do in College Station. So we have a couple like country dancing bars. Everybody dresses up in their finest Western gear and goes out and does the two-step, not the rap two-step. By the way.
Okay.
Two different types of two-step, as it turns out. I didn't know this before.
I've never done country dancing, I can honestly say. Where would you bury hidden treasure if you had some?
Delaware.
I wouldn't tell you.
I would put it in Delaware. Because I feel like no one would expect it to be in Delaware.
I wouldn't either. Especially coming from a Canadian, why would you hide your money in another country for your treasure?
All right, no answer. Cool. I don't really have a good answer for that. I have never thought about that question before.
I've thought of where to hide dead bodies, but I've never actually thought of where
to hide. So, I'm going to modify this question. What was your favorite hiding place in your house to put stuff that you didn't want your parents to find growing up?
I didn't really have much to hide from my parents.
Really?
But
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're doing childhood wrong, I suppose.
Not necessarily. I mean, honestly, I just never got into that habit because I come from such a huge family. There is really no place to hide. Like, I had stuff on my siblings all the time. And when I was young, I used to hide it underneath my mattress because at least I was on the bed, so it would be harder to take. Yeah. As I've grown up, I kind of, and I guess if you ever visit, I hide a lot of stuff in my DVDs, which is really awkward when I open it up sometimes because I don't remember hiding stuff in there.
Oh, yeah, but my Star Wars VHS tapes were my hiding spot for stuff for a little while. But this is way after VHS tapes were popular, so I was the only one in the house that would need to ever access the Star Wars VHS tapes.
Yeah, to me, the thing is always I have like, between video games, Blu-rays, and DVDs, I have hundreds of cases, so the chances of somebody finding, like, the one I have something hidden in was always so slim, which is why I just kind of had to know a system for where I kept it, and sometimes you do forget.
Right, and then my other place was an outlet on my wall that, like, it was an electrical outlet, but it didn't actually have anything behind it, so it didn't really work. So if I really needed to hide something, I'd unscrew the electrical outlet, put it in behind it, and re-screw the fake outlet cover on, and I felt pretty intelligent for that one.
Okay, Walter White.
Yep. Trent, you got any good hiding places?
No, not really. I wasn't the type of kid that hid shit. Like, if I did something wrong or if I stole something, I was pretty, like, bold. Yeah. So no real hiding places. That would be useful, though, if I did. I guess
but
under
I
my bed.
Your own, so.
I threw a lot of crap under my bed, but I feel like that's a pretty obvious place.
Yeah, that's where I put the stuff that I didn't want to clean. I didn't actually hide.
I didn't think that was a hiding place. That was just like crap I have to clean up today. It was just
like shuffle the bed curtains down a little bit and just kick it all under there. You know what? I say when I was a kid, I still do that.
Yeah, I don't get it anymore. I have a bunch of stuff on there just because I need the space. What do you dip a chicken nugget in?
Ketchup. I'm boring. Oh, wait. Ketchup mixed with sriracha sauce. I make my own, like, Whataburger spicy sauce with it.
I'll put it in sweet and sour sauce if I'm at McDonald's or something like that.
I don't really eat too much chicken.
I generally don't have chicken nuggets if I'm at home.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's just what you prefer to dip stuff in. Like, for me, it's barbecue sauce.
That's kind of funny. I'm the one from Texas, and I hate barbecue sauce.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how somebody can hate barbecue sauce.
Being around it your whole life, I guess. I don't know.
That would make me hate it. this one's especially Sam, because I'm really curious about this one.
Oh, great.
What
All
movies
right.
could you watch over and over and still love?
All right. I'll let Trent answer this one first, because I feel like I've been speaking up so quickly otherwise.
There's some movies, like, generally speaking, I'm really critical when I watch movies. There are some movies that I know are bad, but I can't stop watching. For me, it's probably A Night at the Roxbury. I'm pretty sure I've seen it over 200 times at this point.
Wow,
man.
I don't know what it is. It's a movie that I will put on when I'm cleaning my apartment or if I'm just having, like, a lazy Sunday, and there's not a single moment that I don't enjoy watching, even though I recognize that it's not the best film, but I'll continue to watch it over and over again.
That was not an answer I was expecting, to be honest.
I don't really watch movies over and over too often, but I...
You don't watch movies.
Yeah, I can watch plenty of movies, just not good ones. Yeah, but I can watch the Dawn of the Dead 2004 remake. I think that is one of the most underrated movies to have ever existed. I love it so much. It was Zack Snyder before he did 300 and Watchmen and Superman and all those things. He made a remake of Dawn of the Dead that was actually really good.
It's pretty good.
I watched it five times in one day whenever I discovered it. So,
wow.
That and How to Train Your Dragon I can watch any day of the week. I honestly think How to Train Your Dragon is better than any Pixar movie I've seen, to me anyway.
That's a lofty statement.
It is. I know a lot of people won't agree with that, but...
Yeah, I was about to say, good thing Dan's not here for your half this interview.
I wanted to be an animator when I was, I started college in an animation degree, so I thought I was going to go work at Pixar, but turns out I didn't know. I couldn't draw very well, but I could do computer technical art. But you have to make it through a year of studio art to get to the technical part. So, yeah. Also, future advice to anybody thinking of becoming an animation major, don't take art classes if you don't know how to art.
How to art?
Yeah, I made C's in all of it, and it just sank my GPA for the most part.
Well, I mean, I think that would go with any major.
Yeah, don't do a major if you don't have a background in it, but... I don't know, because the lady assured me that, no, you don't need to know how to draw to do visualization. I'm like, okay, I believe you, and that was a mistake.
How to art.
Or, draw if you want to be sophisticated, but...
Or speaking a phrase that most people understand.
Yeah.
Can you curl your tongue?
Yes.
You want to see? I just did it. You'll take my word for it.
Not a visual medium. Yeah. What is it? 50% of people can't do it. That and can you roll your tongue?
Wait, is there a difference?
Yes, rolling your tongue is usually. It's not something you really do in English too much, but it's kind of.
Oh, that rolling your tongue. Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, yes. I can't do it to a microphone, though, because I'm right up next to it, and they'll go. Grrr. Oh, wait, no, kind of worked. That.
Yes.
All right, cool.
Okay, this is good to switch it up a bit. This is more kind of, I guess, more stuff we actually do cover on this show more often.
All right.
What is your favorite video game genre?
Well, I write for a RPG website, so I like RPGs a lot. But the amount that I like role-playing games is almost exactly proportional to the amount I like survival horror games. So they both kind of had their days in the sun. And I would guess most of them would be considered niche games now, but those two are probably my favorite genres.
I'm kind of the opposite. Well, I hate survival horror games. I can appreciate them sometimes, but I'm not a fan of feeling scared while I'm playing a game. Like, I don't like... I played Dead Space. I like Dead Space 2, but it took me so long to beat it, because I can only play it in, like...
So not survival horror. Dead Space is barely even horror. Dead Space...
This is my point. I could barely get through Dead Space. I played through Dead Space like an hour at a time, maybe. I'm like, all right, that's enough tension for me, thank you. I am a pussy when it comes to horror games. So, and then I tried to play through Amnesia, got about 15, 20 minutes into it, and said, fuck that, I am never doing that again. So I don't really watch those. I don't really have a favorite genre. I'd play, you know, my favorite genre is games that score above an 8.5 on Metacritic. Can I just play whatever other people say to?
You just, that's not a genre.
Exactly. I won't play RTS games.
So we can narrow down what you don't enjoy.
Okay, can narrow down what I don't like. Fighting games, like, I've never really done. They take too much time for me to learn. So I guess that narrows it down to shooters and platformers and RPGs.
What is it? I mean, there's races, there's strategies.
Yeah.
Tactic.
But I don't.
Action adventure.
I never really like think about genres when I'm playing a game. If that makes sense.
Well, I mean, that does make sense. But I mean, there are like for me. I mean, personally speaking, it's a platformer because I grew up on Mario games. So.
Right.
And if it's still a viable genre, I also like beat 'em up. I kind of like games that give you more direct control over your characters and the stuff they do.
I'm only just now starting to get into platforming and tactics games. Like, tactics games used to annoy the crap out of me, like the Final Fantasy Tactics games or the Disgaea games or Tactics Ogre. It used to just annoy the crap out of me because I wasn't good at it. At the time, I wasn't really willing to put the work in. Now they're starting to really. There's so much more complicated than RPGs that I feel like it's a great challenge. Platforming was a big thing for a lot of kids when I was growing up in the days of like Super Mario 64,
yeah,
and all the Banjo Kazooie and like Conker's Bad Fur Day. And I'm only just starting to get into those games today. So it's never too late to change your ways, Sam.
Well, he doesn't have ways. That's the problem.
It explains how I think of genres, really. Is what I was saying is I don't have a genre that I look at and say, oh, this game is in this genre that makes me want to play it more. I just have genres that I look at and say, no, that's not for me.
Yeah, but I mean, I was about to say, it can also work in the reverse. Like Trent was saying, like, he's going back and playing some of the N64 games. Like, you could, it could say you... you're playing Battlefield 4 right now. Say you decided to enjoy that, so you go back and you check out other first-person shooters because that's a genre you enjoy and you want to kind of see how it evolves. So you play like, the original Halo, you play like, GoldenEye, you play Perfect Dark, you play, you know, Time Shooters, stuff like that because you're a first-person shooter fan.
Again, I don't go back to games very easily either. It's kind of like I am with movies. Once I've beaten it, I'm usually done with the game unless there's DLC or something.
Well, I'm not even talking about going back. I'm talking about experiencing, you know, like, this is what the eighth generation of gaming. I'm sure you haven't played, like, a ton
I'm surprised you know that off the top of your head, actually. That's impressive.
that well, who wouldn't know that?
That it's the eighth generation of gaming? I didn't know that. I've never numbered the generations before.
I think it's really hard. Well, this is a discussion for another day, because I really hate how we're calling this Gen 4. But, yeah, that is a discussion. We'll table that for now.
Yeah, sorry. Whoops.
Do you have any quirks when speaking?
Well, wouldn't you know by now, listening to us talk?
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean you can have physical quirks as well, which wouldn't show.
What define a quirk? I don't really know what that means.
Well, I mean anything that's kind of different, unusual about you. Like I mentioned, and
give me an example.
I mentioned this with Justin and Dan. Like I have what my friends call Power Ranger hands. Whenever I speak, I am reanimated with my hands because I can't just leave them still. So they're always doing something when I speak.
Gotcha.
Even on this.
Huh. I have a mild form of Tourette's, so I have like facial tics and things like that. Like I scrunch my nose up whenever I talk every once in a while. If you watch videos I do, I've done it less in stuff that's scripted, but if you go back and watch interviews that I've done before, you'll see me do my little nose face tick. My video said he started doing it just by habit after editing so much of my like PAX interview footage. It just kind of passes on from person to person by osmosis. Oh, bitches. No, sorry, that's not the word she used there. People that are not very nice people will misinterpret it or will like judge me for it. Like I make a noise with it too, with like a sound sometimes. So I do that class, and this just. I'm not gonna. Okay, so I have a word in my mind. I'm not gonna quite go that far, but she turns around and just glares at me after I tick twice. It's just staring through my soul eyes, and it makes me feel absolutely awful every single time. So there are kind of people that misinterpret it as me intentionally trying to be annoying, and that don't understand it's something I can't control. But yeah, so there's just that.
Okay.
Open it up a little more than I thought I would.
What about you, Trent?
I only realized it after I wrote the book, but I have a mean series. Like the way that I converse with people, every second sentence is always something, 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 comma, but something, 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 something. So like, I always like to make a point and then contract that point, I guess. So I do that a lot when I'm conversing with people in everyday speech, I guess. I don't know if I have any body language indicators that I do. I like to bite my lip when I'm focusing on stuff, I guess. But other than that, no, not really. I have a weird way of phrasing things.
Yeah, so you like take away the other person's side of the conversation before they've even said it?
Well, my biggest problem is that I'm one of, for better or worse, I'm one of the most opinionated people you'll probably meet. And I would really like to think that when I have opinions on things, it's for reasonable reasons. But I always like putting forth like as valid an argument as possible. So when I'm talking to someone and they say, you know, I really didn't like this movie, it was something like this, I would say, well, yeah, I understand. It's kind of like this, but da 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 da. So I don't know. I always like taking a dialogue and trying to push it a little further. And I think sometimes it's not always appropriate for the other person. And sometimes it only makes me kind of fatigued. So
yeah, I kind of know what you mean.
Yeah.
Cause I'm like that with my girlfriend in movies. Like for instance, The Hunger Games that just came out, it's her favorite movie of all time. And I told her, I really like The Hunger Games. And then I added but the ending was really short and rushed, and she didn't talk to me for 30 minutes after that.
But it was, though. Just
it was,
like the book,
she refuses to accept that. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it.
But I get that it's the book. My beef with that, and I don't want to spoil it, so we'll just speak in vague terms. My beef with that is that they're going to have to do the same thing with the next movie, because that's not a conclusion either.
Yeah, but anyways, I wasn't talking about the movie in particular. I was talking about the way that you talk with saying but. Makes no one take your opinions not no one, but makes a lot of people look at you like you don't actually like anything.
Well, it's not even that. Sometimes
like something you're supposed to wholeheartedly like.
who have kind of stepped in, like, because I like to debate. I wouldn't say I like to argue. I don't like bringing people down. I don't like telling people that they're stupid. I just like talking out stuff. So there have been times when someone has gone to a movie that was, like, action-packed and very straightforward, and I would go on about how, like, I could see a lot of the plot elements coming, or that the twist wasn't that surprising or reveal or something like that. And they'll usually say something along the lines of, can't you just turn your brain off when you watch stuff? And my response is always, no, I can't. Like, I'm always trying to tear things apart.
Unless it's The Hobbit.
Especially The Hobbit. Oh.
Nope, I turned my brain off of that movie so hard. All it took was doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and I'm like, all right, going back to 9-year-old Sam brain. This is fantastic.
No. I wanted to go back to that age of grace, because I really love The Fellowship. In fact, The Fellowship, I would argue, is one of the reasons why I'm as interested in filmmaking as I am, because I watched, like, the full back end, how it's made, and it blew my friggin' mind. But watching The Hobbit was frustrating for a number of reasons for me, not the least of which the fact that it looked like it was shot on Shitio, because they decided to film in 48 frames per second, and it made everything look like it was filmed on soap opera cameras.
Yeah.
That is a new term, though. Shitio.
Shout out to Shitio.
But, this is a twofold question. One, and I think I noticed for both of you, but I have to ask, do you have any siblings? And if so, what is your relationship with your siblings?
Go ahead,
Trent.
Do you want to go first, Sam?
I'm grabbing some chips, so you talk.
Okay, I have two siblings. My big brother, Troy, is 11 years older than me. He is a physiotherapist. He's a partner at his firm. He's a professor at Western University. He has a PhD. He has 3 professional certifications. He has a wife and a child and is expecting another child, so his life is super busy. I have a sister named Shannon who is 7 years older than me, who worked with a urologist. She's a gerontologist by trade and has 2 kids, and they're both really rad. I hang out with them a lot, and I usually tweet about our adventures. So as you can probably imagine, considering that Troy is 11 years older than me and Shannon is 7, I was an accident. I'm the result of my mother being on antibiotics, essentially. And interestingly enough, in spite of the fact that I have 2 degrees, 3 professional certifications, and have written a book, I am the underachiever of our family. So
what do you do for a living when you're not on a podcast?
I work as a civil servant. I work for the government of New Brunswick, which is a province in Canada, and I go into businesses of all shapes and sizes, and I give them money to hire more people. So it's kind of a dream job in that respect. I used to do human resources at some fairly large IT companies, one of which being Xerox, the other being Salesforce.com. And I would be doing recruitment and wellness and benefits and terminations and employee reviews. I personally found it to be really fun.
I'm going to go make YouTube videos for a living. Have fun, nerd.
Anyway. So, when I'm not podcasting, I have an interesting enough life, I guess. The dynamic between me and my siblings, in spite of the age gap, is actually pretty tight. I've always kind of admired Troy as my older brother. I think Earl would know this, considering I think we met because I was doing a blogging series with Troy on my website.
Oh yeah, my brother asks.
Yeah, my brother asks where he would ask me questions that I would answer, and that eventually became Ask a Dork, which I do for Nerds on the Rocks. And we're really tight, and I became really close with Shannon after she moved out of our parents' house, and I didn't have to see her every day. Shannon actually lives down in Boston now. Well, just outside of Boston in Ayer, Massachusetts, and Troy lives in London, Ontario. And I see Shannon probably 5 times more than I do Troy, and I talk to her almost every day. So the dynamics are still really strong, even though we live very different lives.
So I have a sister that's in your situation, or will be anyways. She's like She's 9, so I'm 22. Somebody do the math there. She's significantly younger than me.
13.
Thank you. Math's not my strong suit. I will never be a civil something.
Very neither is English.
Right? I don't know what I'm good at, but... yeah, I have a brother who's here at college with me, Texas A&M. It's kind of the same situation of we got closer when we left for college, because we were very close initially growing up, and then, like, I became a teenager, and he is three years younger than me. 2 to 3, depending on what time of the year it is, I guess. He's a freshman, and I'm a senior, so that's...
I didn't know if you meant like he was there with you.
But he's old for a freshman, so... Anyways, my point being is, like, once I left for college, it became a lot more cool to hang out with him, because he's... I can accept him as my age. Because there's a certain time where you look down at your little siblings, and you're like, oh, no, I shouldn't talk about sex around you, because you're younger than me, and that's not something I should do, or, you know, you can't be drinking right now, you're young, so... There's a time when you stop looking down at them and they become, like, real people that you can have an open conversation with. That's nice.
It's weird how that works. So, yeah, there we go. I think Dan has a huge family, too. I have the biggest, which isn't surprising. But, okay. What is your favorite sport?
To watch or to play?
Yeah.
Both?
Different question. Actually, probably football for both.
Why'd you ask?
Well, he asked first. I had to think about it, because I'm the best at tennis, but I enjoy playing football. But I'm not very big, so I'm not good at football.
How did you get into tennis?
By being short. It was the sport short people could play. Actually, that really isn't. I played lacrosse for a few years in middle school, and I didn't hit 100 pounds until 7th grade. I'm by no means big now, but, I mean, I was even shorter compared to the average person when I was growing up, so there weren't a whole lot of sports I could play very well. I've tried my hand at a lot of them, baseball, basketball, lacrosse, tennis, but tennis was the one that stuck, because I didn't have a clear disadvantage for being little. I wasn't fantastic at it, but it's the one I was the best at.
Interesting. Never thought of a height issue.
Yeah, and I run every other day, but that doesn't really count. Is it a sport?
Oh, running's a sport. It's in the Olympics.
Well, I don't run as a sport. I don't know. Sorry, I'm tangenting pretty hard. Go on.
Trent?
Favorite to watch? If we're in the comfort of my living room, it's probably football.
Are you talking about, hold on. Yeah, there's Canadian football. I'm an idiot. Go on.
Well, we don't watch Canadian football.
I didn't know. I don't know that. Are y'all interested in American football?
I don't think anybody watches Canadian football.
Hey, Canadian football is actually a really decent sport. There's fewer downs and end zones are larger. The whole game moves faster.
Oh, I don't like think anything moves slow in American football.
That's all right. You'll be eating Tim Tebow in a year, and nobody will care.
I like Canadian football. Okay, for future reference, Sam, we basically have everything that you guys have. And when I say that, I don't mean we have an iteration that's Canadian of what you guys have. I mean, we have teams that play in your leagues. So we all watch your national football, baseball.
Who's the Canadian kind of team in the NFL?
Well, a lot of
I know there
were
some in the
NFL.
Like, I know the Expos used to be in Canada and things like that, but...
Okay, well, a lot of the people within my region of Canada are big Pats fans.
Oh.
And I am actually a huge Pats fan myself. Well, most of the Boston teams are pretty popular out here. A lot of people are Red Sox fans, and a lot of people are Bruins fans too. So,
All right.
Now, personally, I do like the Pats, and I do watch NFL. I'm a big fan of having Super Bowl nights. That being said, if we're watching something live, I prefer to watch hockey. I don't care if it's junior league or professional league, as long as it's hockey. And if we're playing a sport, probably soccer, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, favorite teams. Also, while we're here. You just said Patriots. So, Earl, who's your favorite team?
I'm a New York boy, so Giants.
Oh, fuck you.
I can't say, ooh, I'm a Texas fan. We're having just as bad of a season.
You haven't had a good season since 97, sir.
We have been to the playoffs twice, thank you very much.
Barely.
We had two better seasons than the Bengals did in the last 8 years.
Yeah, but the Bengals are like Aquaman, you know? They're like the whipped cream.
I do not know what the hell you just meant by that comparison.
I think Earl does. They're the stooge. The Bengals are the stooge of the league.
There are people that they keep around just because they want to be nice.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Aquaman isn't the stooge anymore. Now it's Green Lantern. But for the longest time, it was always Aquaman.
All right.
Poor Aquaman.
You know what next to tell you?
Trent kind of, well, he didn't answer this, but he is drinking. So what is your favorite beverage of choice? And this can be both a drink and a drink.
I was going to say, yeah.
What a mature adult you are, Earl. A drink. let's see. If we're talking about a non-alcoholic beverage, I'm a big fan of loose tea. And if we're talking about like they give you tea leaves, like it's not in a packet or anything, and you have to.
I've never heard the term for that before.
Yeah,
but I know what you're talking
about.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of like kind of fruity teas like that. And when I say fruity, I don't mean like in the flaming way. I mean like they taste like root.
I don't know if you had to clarify that way, but okay.
Yeah, I love my fruity drinks.
Fruity drinks. And if we're talking about alcoholic beverages, my dad and I do a lot of scotch tastings, and we're both big fans of scotch. On the regular, we'll probably drink from a local microbrewery called Picaroons. I like stout a lot. I'm just starting to get more into wine now, and I just recently learned that you shouldn't mix red wine and white wine, and I found out why the next morning. So that is my answer to your question.
I didn't know you weren't supposed to mix wines. That's good to know.
Well, colors.
The first wine tasting I went to, I didn't know how you were supposed to do it. So they give you like these little things of wine, and you're supposed to sip it and spit it out.
Yes.
But I was just so accustomed to the fact that you give me something with alcohol, right? I'm just gonna take it like a shot. So we did a couple of these, and
do you slam it on the table after two? You like look up, clink down it, and slam it down on the table. Give me another.
Give me another. I was with my, I guess my friend's wife now. It was my friend, his wife now, and her mother. And his wife and his mother were just looking at it. I said, "You two are idiots. That's not what you're supposed to be doing." I'm like, "You gave me everything of alcohol. There's one course of action for me here, and that's to take a shot.
As quickly as possible."
Well, that's the only way to take a shot. Sam.
Dr. Pepper, usually. I probably... Like, I'm not actually a fan of Diet Dr. Pepper, but I don't drink much non-diet sodas because I am health conscious.
Like
I'm not even health conscious, fat conscious for some reason. Y'all saw me shirtless earlier, ostensibly the audience did.
I was about to say, that's not a weird thing to say.
Yeah, it takes some work. Actually, you'd be surprised the number of times that I get, like, not ridiculed is the word for it, but sort of picked on by guy friends for ordering less than, you know, less like healthier options at dinner and stuff. It's kind of weird being a...
Oh, no, I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I don't think we would be surprised, no.
Well, okay, a lot of people would be surprised at that.
It depends. Like, I had this discussion at work the other day. Like, I guess Trent can answer this too. Like, would you order wine if you went out with friends?
I don't think so. I mean, personally, I wouldn't either, but y'all haven't gotten to my alcoholic drink yet, so.
Because we were having this discussion. Like, I don't mind wine, but I think traditionally wine is kind of seen as a female drink.
Yeah.
And if you ordered it when you went out with friends, I think I would make fun of you mercilessly for it. So we had this discussion, and it is really weird. And I was also thinking maybe I just had terrible friends.
Oh, everybody's got terrible friends. It's fine.
I got a picture of sangria tonight, and people were giving me crap for it. But I don't care, because I'm drinking sangria. So,
so my favorite alcoholic drink is a vodka tonic, like the new James Bond. I don't know. It was the first thing I tried. I liked it, and I've seen no reason to switch to something else since. So that's usually what I order at bars. But sometimes if it's a choose your own drink thing, I just get the girliest sounding drink on the menu and order that as confidently as I can.
Yep. I suggest you try it.
That's on purpose.
Possible.
I kind of have, and vodka tonic has been my favorite so far. Like universally, it's kind of hard to mess up a vodka tonic. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, with me, and I think I've shared this, it's one of my things. Whenever I go anywhere, bar, wedding, you know, like dinner, I always like to try a house special because you never know what you're going to find that's really enjoyable.
Right.
And I also like...
Depends, though, because if you're asking for wine and you order the house wine...
Oh, well, I don't...
It's always going to be a cheap Merlot or a cheap Pinot Grigio, so...
Oh, like I said, I don't order wine in public. It's usually a mixed drink, and usually it depends on the name. I've had everything from a Dr. No to a Princess Peach, depending on where I am.
You sound like you've been to video game conventions once or twice in your life.
Oh no, I've been to Comic-Con, but I've never actually been to a game convention. But yeah, I do that.
Oh, well, those are definitely drinks at game conventions. I've ordered Hadouken at a bar before.
Yeah, Hadouken. I've had a girls just want to have fun with at a karaoke bar.
Yeah.
So yeah, anywhere I go, it's usually like just show me what you got, and I'll order that and try it out. Like my go-to is vodka Sprite, but I'll try anything else. Okay, almost done. What is the internet site you visit most often?
Nerds on the Rock.
I don't even visit that most often.
For me, the most visited one is probably YouTube. I don't know why, but I've gotten into the what channel?
Yeah, that's how
it's a mix of them, really. I've gotten into the habit of like cooking while watching video game reviews and stuff. I'm a big fan of Peanut Butter Gamer and JonTron and Continue and Satch's Goods. Like, as long as there's some level of quality and humor attached to like Let's Plays or video game reviews, that I'll watch them. On the whole, I really dislike Let's Plays, like both conceptually and through execution. Most of them really suck. I'm sure everyone and their mom have done a Let's Play for Minecraft and Sonic 06 by this point, and it's not funny. probably YouTube. The only other site that I used to frequent like ridiculously
often. Hold on, time out. This
was...
is a good spot. You should add youtube.com/sneelive to your list. All right, go. You don't actually have to do that, but I wanted to say what my YouTube channel was before we got too far away from the subject.
Oh, magic! The only other site that I was interested in.
It was
in,
so smooth.
It was Destructoid. And I don't actually go there anymore because the only reason why I was going to Destructoid, because the site has kind of changed over time, was Jim Sterling, and I'm a huge fan of his reviews. I think they're just the most entertaining thing on the internet, so I'll go wherever he goes, and I think he just got a job at The Escapist, so
yeah.
I'll probably start frequenting there more often.
He's the editorial editor? Well, that's the title. Okay, Sam.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would say for a title. Mine is also YouTube. My favorite YouTube channels are, you know what? I'm going to say Inside Gaming. It's a little bit of a cop-out, but I really do, like, there's a reason
Derp Trek is probably one of my favorite videos. Like,
I was going to say, yeah, there's a reason I want to work there, you know? There's a reason I can tell you all this because I'll know by then, but I find out about my internship tomorrow for the spring, so... We'll see how that goes, fingers crossed. But, yeah, there's a reason I want to work for them so badly. I really like their videos. On top of that, Rooster Teeth and Achievement Hunter. I watch the, Let's Play videos can go either way depending on what you do, and I really like the Achievement Hunter people, so I can watch the Let's Play videos because, as you said, it's something you put on while, like, folding laundry. Not that I fold laundry, but put on while cooking. So, like, 40 minutes long, and they just go. But, yeah, mostly Let's Plays. Let's Play, which is the Achievement Hunter channel, Inside Gaming, and Giant Bomb. I really love their quick looks.
Yes, I think quick looks to me are more valuable than most reviews.
Yes.
I earn a lot more of hearing people actually play and kind of react to the game than I do from somebody spouting out 1,000 words on graphics and achievements and online multiplayer and all that other fun jazz. Okay. Yeah.
I also like stuff with Max Scoville in it. He's pretty funny.
I don't know. That was a really weird thing. He F Rev 3 games, and he said he was out of games, and he ended up at a new site the next week.
Yeah, Destructoid, where he started.
Oh, okay.
I've met him once, and we hung out in real life once, which is kind of interesting. So, which is weird because this is a weird story to tell, but like I had a dream before that I was hanging out with him because my dreams are often
that weird.
Please tell me. I had a dream that you were doing this before.
Right? Yeah, I don't know. I have dreams that I hang out with people that I hear in my head a lot, and I listen to his podcast, The Comedy
That's
Book.
That's not weird at all.
That's creepy.
Yeah, it is creepy. I understand that, but I listen to podcasts a lot, so you kind of get to know people through podcasts, right? Sort of. You feel like you know them, so I have dreams that I'm hanging out with people that I listen to because
you
I listen to podcasts constantly. What?
Do you hang out with Earl and I in your dreams?
No, I don't listen to our podcasts.
He doesn't listen to himself. He doesn't want to dream about himself.
Right, that'd be a little weird. But anyway, it was like, yeah, I'd had a dream. I was hanging out with him, and then we met at PAX and hung out for a while. It was kind of cool. I don't have any good stories from it, but... Oh, actually, his girlfriend lived in College Station for a while, so there was that.
But there you go.
Yeah, and now I feel like I've just gone all fanboy on somebody else. I'm sorry.
Not at all. Not at all. if you were in an RPG, what class
would you... Earl, what are your favorite sites?
Oh, I guess really it would be NeoGAF. I spend too much time there.
I know.
The game inside is successful right now, but there's a lot of other sub-communities that have kind of formed there. Like, I'm a huge part of the DC... Like DC Marvel Comics GAF, Wrestle GAF, I'm a huge part of Animation GAF, stuff like that. And of course, as you both follow me, you also know I'm hopelessly addicted to Twitter.
Sure.
But that doesn't really count since I can access that on my phone and my tablet, and that's not really a slight anymore.
Yeah, I didn't even mention Twitter and Reddit and those things that just about everybody.
Yeah, I don't do sites anymore just because like everything kind of filters through to me that is of interest.
Yeah.
It's really weird because sometimes like I'll have access to a computer at work when I'm bored and I'm like, I don't know what sites I read anymore. Like I used to check out superhero movie hype.com. I used to check out Toon Zone, World's Finest, a bunch of things, and it's all just kind of like, oh, everything's on Twitter, so anything that's interest from that site, just kind of click on the link, read that article, and don't return. Which is really terrible when you run a site because you realize how terrible that makes your bounce rate look. Anyhow. Yeah, so if you were in an RPG, what character, what class would you be?
Wait, like what class most suits my life or what class would you to be?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
What best suits your personality?
It's sloth a class.
If it most suits your personality, I would probably be like a scholar or something. But I would want to be a dragoon.
What's a dragoon? Is it a dragon trainer?
It's a dragon knight. They use spears and
ride. Yeah, you make it sound like it's such a common thing that I should know what this is.
Yeah.
It is a common thing.
Clearly not. Only one out of three people know it.
He's got a point
the one
there.
Plays RPGs.
That's not a common thing.
Is Jester a class? I don't know. I don't have any good. Like you say that like I have skills.
And Jester's a class. I mean, usually there's a joke character. I don't know if it's a class, but it's usually a character like that.
I always felt like I know elves are supposed to be smart, but in a lot of games they're the like nimble, agile ones, and I'm kind of quick, and I probably am fairly brittle. And quick and brittle are very elf-like qualities in most games you play, so we'll go with that.
Isn't that more of a race than a class?
Damn it, you're right. I said the wrong thing. Well, I don't know. Jester, an elf jester.
Okay, that's a weird class. But, okay.
The guy that plays Skyrim and doesn't actually do anything meaningful. It just kind of runs around and looks at flowers and, like, kicks dogs.
That's it. That was a weird ending.
It was. I didn't know what I should have ended that with, and it just kind of happened. But sometimes things come out of my mouth, and I don't know what they mean. I like to blame it on Tourette's, but really my brain's just kind of broken.
William Shakespeare did the same thing.
Oh, good.
And he invented half the English language.
Yeah.
All right.
I tell my friends that sometimes. Like, I start a phrase, I never know where I'm going to end it, so I just keep on talking until it finishes at some point.
Yep.
Never play an online game with me, because you'll either get that or you'll end up having me sing most of the time, which is really random. Final question.
Can we sing to end the show now?
If you want. We've had a lot of people sing on this show.
Well, can we all sing together? No, I guess Skype won't do that. Anyway, go on.
Well, you can, but it's going to be really weird because it's not going to sync up well.
Yeah.
Who is your favorite character from any folklore or any universe?
All right. Samwise Gamgee from Lord of the Rings. A little bit because he has my name, but this scene in Return of the King when he carries Frodo up the mountain with the ring will, like, bring me to tears every time. That and his speech in the second movie. And
oh,
I love.
I completely skipped over a question at some point.
Oh, that's all right. We're on this one. We can go back to it.
Yeah, I didn't realize I skipped over until you mentioned that. But yeah. Trent?
I have no idea. Lord British from Ultima, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's an answer. Yes, the question we skipped over.
The Ultimate game?
Yes.
Whatever.
the question we skipped over and
hold on, you gotta answer this one, Earl.
I don't have to answer this.
Yeah, you do. You keep skipping out in all these. Who's your favorite fictional character?
Because I got the answer it the first time.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
As for my favorite fictional character, I don't have one. I have two, and it's pretty obvious. It's the reason I have my icon. It's Batman and Mario.
Oh.
And I designed my icons that way so that you would know. I used to have a different one.
The Joker, Batman, and Scooby-Doo, but I'm guessing you mean your Twitter icon.
Oh, I mean everything but this one.
I heard, like, folklore icon. I thought you were asking me to pick, like, a fairy tale picture.
I bet any entertainment. I said any entertainment.
Oh, bullshit, then. Yeah. My answer is completely different in that case.
What
God damn.
Was your answer, like, John Henry or something?
It certainly wasn't Lord Britain.
I don't know many folklore characters.
Well, I don't know. You picked John. Lord British, I mean, that's a weird choice, but I'll go with it.
Yeah.
I said folklore or any entertainment field.
Okay. I would say my favorite in that case is probably Andrew Ryan from BioShock.
All right. Good answer.
Pavilion. Interesting.
Not a good role model, but a good character.
Well, that's the point. I wouldn't choose him to be a role model.
Walt Disney, they're basically the same person.
Yes. So the question I skipped over was, name a movie and a video game that you have cried at.
Oh, gosh. Only one?
Well, you can name how many you want.
Like, what types are we naming, though? Are they good ones or terrible ones?
What about the weirdest one? How's that?
Whatever you decide to pick,
okay.
Start with that and then explain why.
Okay, the weirdest game I've cried at was Star Fox Assault whenever Peppy died. Because it was really dumb, and they brought him back one level later. But it's like, Peppy's killing himself to save the rest of the Star Fox team, and I'm over there like, I didn't even like you. I hated Peppy, but for some reason it was very emotionally scarring whenever he died. He comes back, so he's not actually dead in that game. But, you know. So that was the weirdest game I cried at. I will let Trent take this one while I think about the movie. Or not.
Okay, well, if we're talking video games, the game I'm going to arbitrarily list off is Dynasty Warriors, any of them, because they're all the same, and they hit the spot whenever you want to kill 2,000 types of people.
And that's what makes you cry?
Oh, this is about crying? See, I'm missing parts of the... I don't know if it's breaking up, but I'm missing parts of these questions, Earl.
It's kind of funny.
No, I've never cried at a video game.
Look at Mr. Manly over here.
No, I've cried at movies, but I don't honestly feel like most video games are good at storytelling, good enough to make me cry. I guess Silent Hill 2 made me really sad near the end, I would say. Mostly because the reveal completely destroys your impression of the main character. And you really like the main character. So I guess Silent Hill 2 is probably my choice in that case. But yeah, I'm totally missing parts of this conversation.
I didn't know. That was it would have been an interesting answer, though.
Yeah, I was thinking like...
I cry when Exists are a thousand.
Dark Souls every time I try to play it.
Yeah. Kill 2,000 Chinese people and then feel really bad about it.
It doesn't happen. Yeah, for movies, I'm just a sucker for any sad scene in movies. Like, I even got teary-eyed in The Hunger Games, the most recent one, during the scene with Rue. But there's just a lot of, like, or Toy Story 3, or Up, or... God, tons of them. I'm just a sap during movies.
What about you, Trent?
The one movie that I'm known, like, I would even cry if I watched it today sort of deal is The Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah.
The scene near the end, I always tear up. I can't even help it. Like, I've seen the movie probably 40 times by now, and I always get really friggin' sad because I'm so attached to this friggin' robot.
I agree with you. Yeah, Iron Giant's definitely same thing.
Yeah, I said the same thing yesterday. With the first half, but I hate saying that I don't cry at things, but I don't cry at things. And I know it's like it's just I always felt bad about that actually. It's always like, why don't I get sad at these things? So why aren't I?
You have no soul.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. It's just really weird. I am capable of crying, but I don't think I've cried at anything entertainment related. The closest I've come.
That's more sad. So that means you've only cried at things that happened in real life that like actually affect you.
Yeah. How is that more sad?
Because it's real.
See, he says this to us now, but I guarantee you, he cried once he found out that Young Justice was canceled.
I didn't cry at that because I kind of knew it was the writing was on the wall with that today. I guess that's kind of my thing. I'm also at the opposite end of the spectrum as well. It's like I don't, and this is something we'll get into next week. With we're doing a news show, I don't really kind of get that super hype excitement that people do for a lot of announcements. So yeah, I'm just kind of always in a neutral state of emotional. And that's both good and bad, I guess. Like if you ever saw me,
yeah, I'm sure all your dates love that.
It's probably why I'm single because honestly, if you speak to me, it's really just a monotone, dead expression that doesn't look like it's excitement or anything like that, and it's really off-putting. I know it, but it's not like I can force myself to like smile and be giddy for things.
Well, you don't really. Yeah, here's the thing, Earl. Like. It's not just about going on dates with people and giving off a good impression at the get-go. Like, you want to date someone.
I'm not even talking about dating. I'm just talking about getting to know people.
Listen to me. I'm wise beyond my years. Listen to me. What I'm saying is that you should just be monotoned or however you want to say anything. Because fuck whoever doesn't really love that about you, you know?
Oh, I'm not saying I have a problem with it. I'm just saying I understand from the opposite side how it's going. Because I've had this from a lot of people who have gotten to know me over. It's like it's not that I'm shy. I just really don't talk to people because I want to get to know them first. And that's really awkward to do when you aren't really. I hate small talk, but that's how you get to know people.
Yeah.
Like, I hated my third roommate in college for that reason.
Me too, sir. I can't help you.
Yeah, it's going... really weird that I hate small talk, but I run a podcast.
Yeah, what do you think our fucking podcast is? It certainly isn't big talk, I'll tell you that.
But yeah, it's one of those things, and this was basically small talk, the podcast. I got Sam Die Hard for his birthday. Which
yeah, you did. It's right here. Hold on, grab the case.
So in 2 weeks...
Oh, Sam, it's my favorite Christmas movie.
That's the sound of the Die Hard case.
I don't know. I should be watching it tonight. I don't know if I still have time. I want to watch it this weekend, but yes, we're doing that in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And I don't know... Yes, check out the site. I am responsible for Trent not having to ask a dog up yet, because I haven't asked a question that he's accepted.
I'm very picky.
I just put up my Santa Claus Naughty or Nice list for 2013, which takes a look at movies, comic books, and television shows and characters on that that have either made Santa's Naughty or Nice list this year, and the reasons why. Comic book reviews, as always, are up. Spider-Man, Green Lantern, Conan. Tons of great books out there this week, as always. For Dan and Justin, who were in the first half, Trent and Sam, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 155.
Goodbye.